I think most people, when they make content, say, what's in it for me? I'm gonna get likes, I'm gonna get a customer, I'm gonna get that blue check mark. I think the reason I have the career I have is from the first video I made about wine on YouTube in February 2006 to the stuff I put out today, my brain has always thought, why would anybody watch this? I think something I've been spending a lot of time on recently is the first 5-6 years of someone's life is so formative. And I have this hypothesis lately that if you are lucky enough to be born into a family that doesn't have a lot financially, but is incredibly happy and loving, you've started life in a foundation that gives you a massive advantage because you realize that money is not the answer to happiness. And I am that person. I was born in the Soviet Union. I got very fortunate to come to this great country when I was 3 years old, and life was super hard. I lived with 9 family members in a studio apartment the size of this stage in Queens. We grew up lower middle class the majority of my early childhood, but it was a happy household. My mom, as you mentioned quickly, is the hero of my life, and she instilled incredibly massive foundations for me around kindness and empathy and compassion and all the things. I mean, literally Be Friends, the IP that I'm building right now on the back of NFTs, which will have the biggest booth at this convention in 10 years, is really, is really, really, really the seed of how my mother saw the world. My mom lost her mom at 5, grew up in the Soviet Union. Like, real tough life, and really showed me all the true answers to the world. And so I grew up very, very much not entitled. My mom was the sweetest as pie, but my mom is super cheap, and we were poor. So everything I ever wanted, she looked me in the face and said, go get it. So lemonade stands, washing cars, shoveling snow. You know, I'm built on hard work. I think entitlement is a disease. I think a lot of people have it today. I'm very grateful I don't. I think we're all byproducts of our childhood. I think there's things that I've had to work on just like anybody else. I think as grown-ups, we can do that. You can't just say, oh, my parents fucked me up. You know, you've gotta work at it. But I am as grateful as one can be on earth. I've been writing a book in my head. I've written a lot of books, but the one that I've been holding nearest and dearest is a book that I'm gonna call Perfectly Parented. And I'm gonna talk about how they did it, what they did, and I hope it creates different conversations because I think parenting is one of the most important conversations in the world.
Yeah, no, I love that. So I had also incredible parents growing up. My mom, same thing, Gary, was really focused on inclusivity. She, whenever we had people over, whenever we did anything, whenever I was invited anywhere, she always said, did you invite so-and-so? Did you talk to so-and-so? We'd be at an event, she'd say, invite this person to the table. And, you know, I'll just be honest with you, when you're a little kid and you're always having to include people in conversations and invite people places and make sure people are taken care of, it's slightly annoying. And then as an adult, you become this person, you're like, you know what, let's bring this person into the room. Let's bring this person into the conversation.
Makes you a great leader.
It makes you a great person,
yeah.
Right? You don't take advantage. You don't look at the, and we're gonna get into leadership, but you know, when you grow up with that bedrock of people who actually care about people, care about other people's feelings, we share a lot in common, but having great parents, is something that, you know, I don't take for granted for a second.
On the flip side, there's a lot of people sitting here. My father's one of them. I love my grandma, may she rest in peace, but boy, oh boy, she saw it different. The thing that inspires me daily and why I put myself so out there and built the following that I built, and definitely why I'm building Be Friends, is we have the capacity to change.
Yeah.
Humans inspire me so much. You know, we're sitting here as the byproduct of some good situations, but listen, you and I had a bunch of stuff. I didn't know my dad at all. He worked every day of his life until I was 14. Like, you know, like, everyone's got stuff, but taking on the challenge of leaning into optimism and figuring out whether it's meditation, exercise, counseling, education, the consumption of positive content versus negative content, or whatever your path is, I think it's really inspiring that we have the capacity to evolve as well. And that's what I spend my life on, which is I have a level of guilt and gratitude of thinking I had a great situation, and I wanna and continue to push the conversation that if one doesn't, you have so much capacity to change your outcome, and I'm inspired by that.
I love that. All right, so great foundation. Yes, I mean, how do you not applaud that? Great foundation, and you always, I mean, listen, we're at the licensing show. We have to talk about licensing and branding and collecting, and you have always been a collector. Big business, collectibles. You've always been very focused on branding. I want to ask you about your personal brand versus your professional brand. And then also the fact that you are, you've been obsessed with intellectual property. In fact, many years ago, Gary and I were talking, and we might have been talking about SpongeBob. I don't know what it is. He literally looked at me and goes, I love intellectual properties. One day, I'm either going to buy one or I'm going to make one. I mean, that was a long time ago. And here we are at the licensing show. It's kind of weird. And you have really thought a lot about this space for a long time. So talk a little bit about branding. And talk a little bit about how you got into then the licensing space.
I'm 46 years old, and that means I'm of the age where 1980s after school television of the 80s cartoons were driving.
Okay, what was your Nickelodeon? What was your channel?
Well, Nickelodeon's a little later, you know, I loved
Pinwheel.
I remember early Nickelodeon, but Nickelodeon really hit its scaled way that we know it today. That's right. That's more AJ. Yeah, I was more after school He-Man, Thundercats, Transformers, okay. My Little Pony, Strawberry Shortcake, the rebirth of G.I. Joe.
You talked a lot about Strawberry Shortcake when we talked.
I love Strawberry Shortcake.
It's for sale.
Care Bears. Like, and so these were brands that were being built on the distribution of after school television. There was a lot that happened in the 70s and early 80s on Saturday morning. But if you really look at the moat of mid 80s, early 80s, after school, that was a monster of IP building. I was very affected by that. Toys R Us was like the holy grail. We didn't have a lot of money. So on my birthday, I got to go there. Wrestling, WWF, Vince McMahon built IP through humans. There was just a lot going on during that era, as a lot of us know. So I'm affected by that. Baseball cards, I like selling things. There's a lot of that going on. And so I was really affected by that era. And then very honestly, communication has always come natural to me. So not only was I fascinated by He-Man, but I was getting D's and F's in school, but getting A's and B's in history because I thought coup d'etats were fascinating. Like, why would they take the newspaper and the radio station at the same time as the palace? Like, why does the radio and television and the newspaper matter so much? So for me to be where I'm at 46 years old, somebody could have easily figured that out at 12 based on what I was paying attention to. Social media became very natural to me because I knew that that was going to be the new moat of brand building and storytelling. I mean, why brand? Why intellectual property? Because religion is that. The world is only based on stories. Stories that people have decided to believe in. There's not a very big, this may be emotional for some people, and I'm saying this respectfully, but the delta between religion and the Marvel Universe is much smaller than people realize, especially when you start looking at some of the most successful IPs of all time. You break down Star Wars, it gets real religious real fast, right? And so I think that people are really in a place where they need to attach to the emotions of stories. We've done it around campfires, we do it today on Roblox and Minecraft and everything in between. And so I've always been fascinated by it. I've always been a collector. I was a very heavy toy collector in the mid-90s. I properly felt that sports cards were about to collapse. I sold my entire collection and went heavy into toy collecting. I was in the right age when eBay came out. I'd been garage selling and buying IP stuff for years. It's just always come very natural to me, to the point where the level of happiness I have in developing the friends for the rest of my life is profound. I'll tell you why. Because the Gary V thing kind of sucks. Having a personal brand's amazing, but it comes with enormous baggage. You know, you get hate thrown at you, you get assumptions about you, and you're a human being. You're just taking on. For me, I've been willing to do that because I believe in kindness and gratitude, and I know that I'm a unique communicator and that I can get things into the world, and I want to leave it better than I came into it if I can. But accountable aunt, my character accountable aunt, like for me right now, the lack of accountability is why so many people are anxious. Accountability is an incredible human trait that leads to happiness. Yet, we've demonized accountability. We've demonized merit. We created entitlement because we decided to have an era of ninth place trophies. And we've created a lot of structures that have demonized losing when actually losing is foundationally phenomenal. And so for me, knowing how I'm gonna make an iPhone game or build in the metaverse or do children's books or do an animation show on a streaming service around the trials and tribulations of accountable aunt, if I can affect a generation to think accountability is cool versus the current generation that wants to point fingers at everything and never point a thumb at themselves, I can make the world a better place. So what I know is I've built one of the largest social media platforms in the world off of no distribution in real world, all social. That's been fun. I like it, but I don't need, you know me, I don't need it. It's not what I want. It's the message that I want, and I've used myself as a vehicle. The IP allows me to make that 500x, and what I saw faces and I saw people understand, like, I've got 6 or 7 things I want to put into the earth in a different way. I want to show young men that you can build an empire and be kind, not a dick.
So, before we get there, I want to go back a little bit, just a little bit. Because one of the things, what I think is so amazing about what you're doing is you hit the nail on the head. And that is, I think one of the things we all love about the business that we're in is emotional connection. And for a lot of years, this business was very transactional.
Yeah.
It was, let's take the ID and put it on product. And it's not. It is really about building brands. And I didn't grow up in the licensing. I came to it at the company I worked for. I was working in marketing. Marketing is about creating consumer connections and the privilege of working across some of the most iconic brands in the world, like SpongeBob, Turtles, etc., is that this means a lot to people. A lot. And to your point, some of these shows and characters and brands have been with us in times that are really, really challenging. And I think that's why this business is so exciting, and that's why you're seeing so much growth. And so, you know, you are literally the perfect person to step into this space because of your foundation about understanding the importance of brand. Before we go to B-Friends, you are a brand, Gary. Let's just take a minute and talk about Gary V, the brand, Gary Vaynerchuk and Gary V. And you know, this is a personal question. How do you unpack it? I mean, how do you separate that you are a very private person living a very public life, and now you're going to be more public because of what you created and obviously the event? How do you distinguish between the two?
I tell people all the time, you're in control. Like, you're in control of what you put out into the world. I deal with it and unpack it very easily. I put into the world what I'm willing to share, and I don't what I'm not willing to share. And too many people get caught up in the game. They want likes, they want followers, they want the blue check mark. And what usually does well? Kids, family stuff. But as a private person, that's not something I'm willing to share. On the flip side, I'm willing to be the most intellectually generous around everything that's ever worked for me. I think the thing that works for me is when I make a piece of content, I think most people, when they make content, say, what's in it for me? I'm gonna get likes, I'm gonna get a customer, I'm gonna get that blue check mark. I think the reason I have the career I have is from the first video I made about wine on YouTube in February 2006 to the stuff I put out today, my brain has always thought, why would anybody watch this? Like, why are you watching this? Like, why is this good for you? And for me, I have always lived under abundance.
I'm not going to talk about the wine company because I can spend the next half hour thinking about wine tax and you don't get it. You get it. Every day when you wake up, hey, wine tax, that's so fantastic.
Thank you.
Anyway, okay.
You know, I respect people's time. I don't have entitlement. I think I have to fight for it. And so I spend a lot of time reading my direct messages and my emails to try to figure out where the temperature is in the world and what are the issues and what are the opportunities, what do people struggle with, what have I never talk about anything I've never done. So I think one thing that's really worked for me is I don't talk about stuff I don't know.
Yes.
I never tell people to do something I haven't done.
Wait. Go to that because that's really, really unusual. You will not endorse or talk about anything.
I'm very narrow.
I love your recent article. I think I just read where you talked about how people were endorsing NFTs that they didn't even experience.
It's crazy.
What is that? So
people,
talk a little bit about that.
It's this industry. I'll make a really interesting comp. You brought it up, and I've watched this industry from afar for a long time. I think the reason the industry is doing better, macro, is we've become less transactional. People are protecting their brand. They don't need the brand in every category to maximize the P&L. They realize if they make some sort of silly thing for short-term money, it might hurt their overall thing. That's how I've always thought. I've been very patient. I never do anything that can tarnish me. I really work on that. I think it's important. I just don't know how any level of money is worth you not putting your head on a pillow at night. It doesn't make sense to me. It's not how I see the world. And so I focus on that. I also think the world is abundant. I also am incredibly patient. You know, I spent the first 12 years of my career building my dad's business for him. I started my company at 34 years old in another company's conference room because we had no money. I was 34 before I ever made $100,000 a year. Like, you can accomplish a lot. Everyone's so anxious. Everyone wants it so fast. Everybody wants to keep up with the Joneses. They want to make it now so they can show or enjoy. Like, to me, enjoy the process of your career, not the money you make from your career so you can then enjoy it. And that's the game I play.
So a lot of us here, we're working for companies, we're managing teams, we're being colleagues, and you know, Gary's written a lot of books that I will tell you, again, as both a friend and a fan. The book he recently written, which I will talk about because he won't, called 12 and a Half. It's actually incredible. It's called, I'll just read the exact name, Leveraging the 12 and a Half.
Emotional Ingredients.
Leveraging the Emotional
Ingredients. I got it. I got it.
Leveraging the Emotional Ingredients Necessary for Business Success. And this book, the minute I got it, I sent him a note. I said, this resonates. Because he's one of the few people in the industry talking about empathy, talking about kindness, candor, and most importantly, the soft skills, which I completely agree with you, are so undervalued. And so I just want you to talk to this room before we get into, obviously, VCon. I want to just talk about your perspective on that. It's so important.
I think business has a bad name. I think we've misbranded business. The brand of business is broken. I think a lot of people have very honorable, very kind business skills, and the world thinks business is rough and sharp elbows and nice. Like, even like it just made me like jump up a little bit. This concept that the world has been pushing on us that nice guys finish last is a travesty.
No.
It's a travesty that people believe that. It makes people behave in ways that they don't have in their soul. And it's broken. And I think we have to have a new conversation. I think hard skills are commoditized. Machine learning, AI, many other things. That's where the commodity is. It's the people that know how to lead. Too many people lead out of fear. It's not healthy. It doesn't work in the end. And I just think we need to have a more thoughtful conversation. I think if you look under the hood and pay attention, the most meaningful long-term things have been built far more on good behavior than bad behavior. You can get short-term results through fear and negativity, but it is not a sustainable action. And I think it's time we talk about it.
And how many times have you shut down a conversation when you walk past someone's office, cube, conference, wherever you are, and someone's being yelled at by a client?
I just
shut that down.
Pam, I just need to understand how anybody believes that verbally undressing another human being in a business meeting ever has any reasoning. And I just want everybody to hear this. I'm not talking about let's do foofy entitlement. Everyone's now thinking about like, what about these fucking Gen Zers? They don't want to do shit. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about like we have to do stuff, of course. I'm talking about people using negativity and fear as drivers. Yeah, it's...
Nobody wants to be scared of their boss.
Right? So many people are struggling when I'm pushing this out because they're worried about entitlement. And I understand that. It is a fine balance. But we just need to have a different combo because you get way more out of honey than vinegar. It is documented proof. But most of all, the thing that bothers me the most is I watch nice people navigate their careers and try to develop less nice skills because they believe subconsciously and consciously that it gets them further, and that has to be eradicated.